1970, and she's been serving here in Mayapur on and off for the last 13 or 14 years. So she'll say a few words.
Hare Krishna. Nam Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane. Namaste Sarasati Devi, Gauravani Vacharane, Nivishesha Shunivani Paskata Visitadane. Please forgive me for speaking before much more exalted people, but I'm just doing what I'm told. I'd like to share a little bit what this day is for me. All festivals, they have their kind of unique flavor. You know, like Rath Yatra is very joyful and colorful and fun. And this day is very unique. For me, I find it the very most intense festival day of the year by far, far, far. It's so intense because there is this combination of bitter sweetness. I guess that's what you, for me, that's what this day is, bitter sweetness. That it's so bitter that sometimes in the morning on this day I think, oh no, Prabhupada's disappearance day, how will we face it? Because we can't help but think of the day that Srila Prabhupada actually left us. We can't help. That's indelibly printed on our brain, the most shocking day of our life, basically. And so we can't help but think of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, you know, lying on his bed in the most emaciated state, having given every single ounce of his energy for spreading, for us, for spreading Krishna consciousness to all of us, and still in that state where, you know, practically was not even alive, trying to still speak Krishna Katha to the last moments. These are such an, you know, deep, intense thoughts, things to remember. And, you know, those moments when Srila Prabhupada, the last moments he was with us, the intensity of that kirtan, and the whole night of sitting before Srila Prabhupada after his departure due to the request of the Brajabasis who wanted a last darshan of Srila Prabhupada. They asked, please don't put him in samadhi tonight. Wait till tomorrow morning. So at their request, Srila Prabhupada was brought by palanquin into the temple room and sat on his vyasasan for the entire night. And we sat in front of him looking at Srila Prabhupada and having so many realizations of now, you know, what we had lost. So these are, you know, very, very bitter and very intense emotions and feelings and visions that, you know, rise on this day that it's almost unbearable. So one may ask, you know, well, why do you keep hashing over things that make you miserable? And actually, I heard some devotees in Vrindavan on one of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance days. They were not where the talks were going on, and a group of devotees were kind of gathered there, and I heard one of them say, oh, I really can't stand to listen to all those Prabhupada disciples and their misery and their, you know, crying over Prabhupada. I just don't like to hear it. And then my heart was just shocked when I heard that, and I thought, my God, you have no understanding what this is. These are not our mundane lamentations of feelings of loss and crying, like, you know, in the material world, this is something that is of the greatest value. In fact, it was Srila Prabhupada's, perhaps his final, most profoundly deep gift that he gave to us, that in him removing himself from our vision, he planted a seed, a little seed in our heart of the highest expression of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is the mood of separation. And although, of course, that is something so high, the highest thing, but still Prabhupada gave us everything. And so he gave us that little seed, that tiny little flame that was meant to grow and grow into a big flame of separation from the Lord, ultimately. Like Narottam Das Thakur and the great acharyas of previous times, they had such a big flame of separation burning that actually Narottam Das Thakur, his whole body was consumed by that flame, and he just melted into the Ganges. That's how he departed from this world. So Prabhupada gave us, you know, ABC up to the highest thing. So he planted that little seed of separation. And we experienced, you know, that evening, the greatest bitterness and pain. But as it said in Ayurveda, that a bitter thing is good. It increases the digestion. So in the same way, that bitter experience of losing Srila Prabhupada, it had this amazing effect of actually increasing the sweetness simultaneously of our love and our feelings for him, which is something I experienced the next morning. And the night was nothing but pain. And then the next morning, I remember waking up and laying in my bed and thinking, oh, the world is, you know, changed forever. Now what? And it felt like an intense vacuum, like an emptiness in the world, that the whole world had been shifted by the disappearance of such a great acharya. And I don't think that's an exaggeration, that actually when Rupa Goswami was writing in the mood of separation in Terkadamba, the trees would wither up and fall off the tree, the leaves would fall off of the trees due to that intense separation that Srila Rupa Goswami was feeling. So to say that Srila Prabhupada's leaving this world, it had a profound effect on the whole environment of the world. So for me, I was thinking, now what? I could barely get out of bed thinking, where do we go from here? And then, of course, we went to the temple room. And there were so many devotees. All the devotees kind of gathered, huddled together, sort of like a bunch of lost children, orphans, you know, trying to find some solace together. And then what happened was a spontaneous outpouring of devotees, one after another, just talking about Prabhupada. And then we began to feel the solace and the sweetness that Prabhupada was with us. He was simultaneously, like now that this bitterness had come in, it had increased the intensity of hearing and chanting about Srila Prabhupada. So everyone was, as long as we talked all day, all the next day, it was just, there was the only way to stop the burning of that pain. And we were feeling so much more joy. So these days, they're so important to us to increase our understanding and our appreciation of who is Prabhupada and what we have gotten. Because actually, from our position, it's almost impossible to understand who is Srila Prabhupada. It's sort of like, you know, when Hanuman was throwing boulders to create the bridge to Lanka, you know, there were all these little spiders and ants that, you know, they were looking up, you know, from their tiny little position and seeing these Herculean tasks that Hanuman was doing. And how could they understand them? How could they really see, even his body is so large, you know? So how can we're so tiny ant-like, comprehend the greatness of Srila Prabhupada? It's so vast, it's so big. But still, somehow, those ants, they just wanted to kick in a few little pieces of dust because they felt something so wonderful happening. So even though we don't understand, we can understand. It's something that's changing the whole Earth planet. It's Mahaprabhu's mission coming forward. How can we really comprehend it? But even now, some people even outside of our movement are starting to appreciate it. I heard recently that there were some members from the, I believe it was a Madhvacharya, foremost leaders there, came to talk to some devotees. And we came to ask you a question. And they said, we want to know, who is Srila Prabhupada? And so the devotees just started, you know, to say, well, Prabhupada was... And they said, no, we mean, who is he? Because he's done something beyond what all of our... We know who Madhva is. We know who Ramanuja is. Isn't Madhvacharya an expansion of Hanuman, is it? And Ramanuja, an expansion of Lakshman. So we know this of those acharyas. But so Srila Prabhupada has done something so vast and so taking the whole Vedic wisdom out from India, where it had been since the beginning of creation, and bringing it to the whole world, opening up the doors of Vrindavan to the entire world. Who could this person be? And of course, we can't speculate, but we can know someone so incredibly special. And on another occasion, I heard a very nice, I will stop soon. On another occasion, there was a brahmachari, one of our brahmacharis in the early 80s, who was traveling and preaching in Bangladesh, and somehow or another he wound up in a very, very remote ashram. It's a long story how he got there, but it was very, very remote, and it was like this beautiful ashram that was just like from a previous age, and he spent the night there. And in the morning, one of the brahmacharis there came to him and said, oh, our Guru Maharaj, he wants to see you. And he said, whoa, why would he want to see me? And he said, well, our Guru Maharaj is known all over this area for his preaching about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for years, his favorite verse has been Prithivityachi Yata Nagarari Gram. And he's always quoting this verse and telling us, this will happen. This will happen. So then when we told him that today one white Vaishnava came here with dhoti and tilak and kunti mala, he was stunned. And he said, please, I want to meet that. I want to see that Vaishnava. So, you know, this young devotee was quite overwhelmed. And, you know, so they rushed into the room of the guru, and they bowed down, and the guru was sitting and chanting with his eyes closed very, very intensely. So for some time they waited, and eventually he opened his eyes and he just looked, stared, and tears welled up in his eyes, and he's shaking his head back and forth. Who has done this? Who has done this? What great Vaishnava has done this, has brought this to you? He was overwhelmed. Who is this person who has carried the mission of Lord Chaitanya? who has done it? So then that devotee, he spent 1 or 2 hours just explaining who is Srila Prabhupada, what did he do, how he was 70 years old, how he traveled. And the guru just listened with rapt attention. And at the end, he said, I am such a sinner. I am so unfortunate that I could not take the dust of the lotus feet of such a devotee on my head. And he was just in awe, and then he closed his eyes again, and he started chanting. So who Srila Prabhupada is and what we have been gifted, it's inconceivable. But these days are so important for us forever, for it to increase, for us to figure out a little bit more how, what we're part of. Who is this personality that we've become connected to? And it won't stop when all of Prabhupada's disciples are gone. It has to go on. You will all go on until eventually the world will actually recognize who is this personality and how he has shifted the history of this planet. Hare
Krishna. Prabhupada ki. So now we'd like to ask His Holiness Ramai Swami Maharaj to say a few words.
72.
Ramai Maharaj joined in Sydney, in Melbourne, in 1972, and of course, just recently he's been the chairman of the GBC, and now he's also becoming involved in our Mayapur project.
Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharin Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschacharya Satarini. Srila Prabhupada Tirubhava Mahotsava Ki. So, I unfortunately didn't have as much opportunity as some of my godbrothers who had were able to render very intimate personal service to Srila Prabhupada, Hari Sori and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Prabhu's here. But I was able to, on a few occasions, be with Prabhupada in his room, of course here in Mayapur, sometimes in Bombay, and in Australia he came 6 or 7 times. So I was able to get his association. And it's with Srila Prabhupada, I've been thinking about it more and more, especially today. I was thinking this morning that it's very rare that anyone gets an opportunity to associate with such a great personality as Srila Prabhupada. We are very, very fortunate. The world is very fortunate. Even though, physically speaking, Prabhupada was not a very big man. He was maybe, 5'2", 5'3", or something like that. Actually, the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada, I was a bit surprised because I'd been reading Prabhupada's books and associating with the devotees. And I always expected when Prabhupada arrived that I would see someone like 6 foot or 6 foot 6. But when he came at the airport, he was very small. But you never felt he was very small. Even physically, he was small. You always felt he was like a gigantic personality. So when you were with Srila Prabhupada, you didn't feel you were part of the world. You always felt that the world was pushed back, and you were walking with Prabhupada, you would hear Srila Prabhupada, you would be in Prabhupada's room. You never felt that the material world could affect you. That was Srila Prabhupada's special potency and mercy on us. I was able to walk with Srila Prabhupada on a few occasions and, as I said, be in his room. And I remember different activities, different aspects to his qualities, his seriousness in teaching, Krishna consciousness. I remember one time in Perth. He came to Perth, Australia, and he stopped there for like a week or so. And he was on a walk, and one of the his disciples said, Prabhupada, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and Prabhupada just stopped, and he said, you are a student of Bhagavad Gita? And the disciples said, yeah, Prabhupada, I read Bhagavad Gita very seriously. And then he said, then how you can say Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago? Do you not know that Krishna spoke many millions of years ago to the sun god Vibhishana? So how you can say he only spoke 5,000 years ago? So that, actually we were all very shocked. I was thinking that the disciple was right, 5,000 years ago Krishna. But when Prabhupada explained it in that way, we had a more clear understanding. So I saw different aspects of Prabhupada and walking. And now Prabhupada always was very, to me, he was very, he showed many qualities, very grave, very serious in spreading Krishna consciousness, very enthusiastic, but very warm, very approachable. You know, you could go, I remember having the opportunity, sneaking into his room, and there was always someone screening who would come in his room, but I remember sneaking into his room on a few occasions. And Prabhupada would never say anything about that. We were just in there with two or three of us on a few occasions. I remember in Bombay also. And he was very warm. He was very accommodating, a very warm personality, but yet grave and serious. I remember one time we were walking in the botanical gardens, and even his knowledge of ordinary things. He would. We were walking, and he said, "What is the name of that tree?" And one of the disciples said, "Prabhupada, I think it is a such and such tree." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you think? You do not know." He said, go and see, they always mark the trees in the botanical gardens, go and see. And then he came back and he said there was some Latin name, and then he said the tree, some cypress tree or something. I said, yes, now we know exactly what is that tree. And Prabhupada's humor, of course, you know, and his compassion. One time he had some prasadam, and we were walking again in the botanical gardens, and there were some ducks in a lake. And he had some prasadam, and he was feeding the ducks some prasadam. And then some more aggressive ducks were pushing the other ones out of the way. And so Prabhupada, he said, he gave them more. He said, just see these ducks, because they want more, I give them more. So we as devotees, we have to want more. Then Krishna will give more. We have to be like these ducks. So there were many instances like that. I remember, even as far as prasadam, Prabhupada, you know, I remember when he was, he made one preparation one time, and it was like curd and a potato and tomato, I think, or something like that. And he said, oh, this is a very nice preparation. He said there was that deep fried curd. He said that the meat eaters will like this preparation very much. He said, this will be meat eaters' delight. Another time he made some pakoras. He said, oh, the meat eaters will like this. He said, this is just like chicken. So they were like, it was cauliflower pakora. So they were like this cauliflower pakora. Yet on another time, I remember prasadam was given to Prabhupada, and he picked up a puri. And the puri was kind of flat, and he picked it up, and he was looking at it. And then he banged it on the table. He went boom, boom, boom. He said, "What is this?" And someone said, "That is a puri, Prabhupada." He said, "This is not a puri." "That was your puri?" And then there was that time when there was a fire downtown. Prabhupada was there for the Rath Yatra festival, and there was a fire, and we had a building downtown. It was kind of like a shop and, you know, a center for the devotees. And next to Is it next door, I think? Oh, yeah. So one of the next door buildings. Oh, two doors down. Okay, so that building caught fire, and there were a couple of people. People got out down the bottom, and there was a couple of girls who were up the top, and they couldn't get out because I think the fire was coming up from downstairs, and they couldn't get out. And the devotees at that time were making, sewing together the canopies. Well, they had the canopies of the Jagannath car, and so we got those canopies out, and we made like a big kind of tarpaulin catchment type of, and we said to the girl, jump down on this. Because it was very high, she was up about three stories. So there were two of them. And one of the girls, she didn't want to do it. So she found another, later on I found out she found another way out. But one girl, she jumped down. And I was one of the devotees holding the canopy. And she landed, boom, in the, and she was okay. Later on, we went back to the temple and reported to Prabhupada that that woman was pregnant. Really? Wow. She fully surrendered to Lord Jagannath. And Prabhupada made a comment like that, is that she was saved by Lord Jagannath or something like that. So that got news in the paper, and Prabhupada was very happy about that. So I felt that... you know, just like what can be said about Prabhupada? I mean, he, when asked to describe his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time he just said, "What can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man." So we're very fortunate that we are disciples and grand disciples, and we have this movement. I've been very enthused to see so many devotees here taking advantage of the holy Dham. So this is all Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I at the time of Prabhupada's leaving, he was in Vrindavan. I still regret to this day that I didn't go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada had been ill a couple of times before, and we always had like kirtan in the temple, and he'd gotten better. And actually, many of the disciples were thinking that Prabhupada would become well again. And I didn't take the opportunity to go to Vrindavan, and I regret that. But Prabhupada is such a leader, he could be thousands of miles away, yet you felt very close to him. And still today, I feel very close to Prabhupada, and I want to feel closer. So I'm very happy to have the opportunity to be here with you all and share this wonderful occasion with you. So I know there's other speakers who are going to speak, so I'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Ramai Maharaj. If I can add a footnote on the fire episode there. In the papers the next day, it was on the front page of the papers, how the Hare Krishnas, this man right here, had saved actually a couple of girls from this workshop that was up on the second or third floor. And when Prabhupada read that, he said, yes, he said, the devotees are always compassionate to rescue the conditioned souls from the blazing fire of material existence. So now we're going to ask His Grace Pancharatna Prabhu to say a few words. Before he does that, we have this book. He just walked off with it. I need that. We have this book. It's called A Shower of Divine Compassion. This is a recent publication from the BBT in Bombay. It was put together by our god brother Dasarath Suta Prabhu, who lives in America. He speaks fluent Bengali, and he's translated many books into English for the pleasure of the devotees. And he was requested to compile all of Srila Prabhupada's poems in one book. So this book, A Shower of Divine Compassion, is that book. It's got all of Prabhupada's poems, and it's also got some introductory notes. So as we go along through this morning's offerings, I'm going to ask different devotees just to present one of those poems along with the introduction. So I've asked Pancharatna Prabhu to read out the invocation for a small book that Prabhupada wrote called Gita Gan. I personally first heard about this when I came here to Mayapur for the first time with Srila Prabhupada in 1976. And Prabhupada stayed for 2 months here. We arrived on January 17th. We left on March the 22nd. And every morning, we would have this wonderful sight. Prabhupada would sometimes come out on the veranda of the Lotus building, and just before the greeting of the deities, there would be a line of Gurukula boys. They used to live on the front wall there. And they had been taught to chant the prayers from this Gita Gan. And they would come marching down this front road here from the front gate to the Lotus building. And one of them would sing out the verse. And then all the other ones, they would all sing it out in repetition. It was like something like you see the U.S. Marines, you know, they're marching along and one shouts out a mantra and then they all repeat it. So it was the same thing, but it was these Gurukul boys, little boys, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And Prabhupada would sometimes come out and watch them coming down from the front gate to the Lotus building. And he would smile like anything just to hear them chant these verses from this Gita Gan. So Pancharatna is just going to read a little of the background and then the English form of the invocation for the Gita Gan that Prabhupada wrote.
I can't read the Bengali either.
If you can, yeah.
I'd love to. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vrishtai Gurule Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamo Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pujani Nirvisesha Sunnivadi Pashtadadeshadana. This is the introduction to the Mangalacharana of Sri Gitar Gan. The other poems in this anthology are in chronological order, but this one is presented out of sequence. We offer it first as an appropriate invocation, since Srila Prabhupada herein petitions the Supreme Lord and his devotees to guide his writing efforts. This piece was written when he was 66, 3 years after he accepted the renounced order, sannyas. Srila Prabhupada had resided in the Vamsi Gopalji temple in Vrindavan since September 1958. Although periodically he traveled to Delhi, Kanpur, Bombay, and other places to preach, Prabhupada kept returning to the Vamsi Gopalji temple at this time. In July 1962, he made a final move in India before departing for the United States in 1965. From the Vamsi Gopalji temple to the famous temple of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, established in Seva Kunj by Srila Jiva Goswami. There, Prabhupada settled in for his marathon effort of translating the Srimad Bhagavatam while living very simply and using a manual typewriter. During the spring, summer, and fall of 1962, he also managed to complete a translation of the 700-verse Sanskrit Bhagavad Gita into rhyming Bengali couplets, which he called Gitar Gan. This impressive work was published by his godbrother and sannyas guru, Keshav Maharaj, in the Gaudiya Patrika magazine in 3 issues, volume 14, numbers 4, 7, and 8, June, September, and October of 1962. Srila Prabhupada also wrote an extensive introduction in Bengali prose to the Gitar Gan, which framed the entire work for the masses. Therein, he discusses the transcendental reason for Sripad Sankaracharya's spreading Mayavad philosophy, and he quotes famous Vaishnava authorities such as Sripad Ramanujacharya and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Prabhupada ends each of the 18 chapters of his versified Bhagavad Gita with a benediction for the reader. Bhakti Vedanta Gahe Sri Gitar Gan Jharishune Shudha Bhakta Krishna Gata Pran. Bhaktivedanta thus recites the poem named Sri Gitar Gan. Whoever listens to it becomes a purified devotee. His heart becomes endeared to Lord Krishna. This is the Mangalacharana, or auspicious invocation, from Sri Gita Gan. No time? Hare Krishna. Clutching the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him, as well as unto all of my instructing spiritual masters. Because they are just like wish-fulfilling trees, I pray that they may bestow their mercy, thereby bringing my sadness to an end. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are the self-effulgent leaders of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, with Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, they gathered together and associated in Sri Vrindavan Dham. I have no yearning other than for the exclusive shelter of the lotus feet of these six Goswamis. Srila Jiva Goswami, who is a brilliant torch lamp of knowledge among all the Acharyas, has mercifully given me a residence close to his lone lotus feet in the Radha Damodar temple he established. I'm a very sinful person, always absorbed in the affairs of material sense gratification. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has shown great mercy by forcibly pulling me out of this unfortunate situation. I am simply a fool, being very lowly and degraded, yet my Guru Maharaj has kindly sprinkled me with a shower of his divine compassion. O Supreme Lords, deliverers of the fallen, O Omniscient Lords, Nityananda Gaur, O Sri Advaita Prabhu, Ocean of Mercy, O Gadadhar, O devotees headed by Srivas, please show mercy to this servant, for I have realized that your mercy is life's essence. Vrindavan is a charmingly beautiful place, and situated here in a grove known as Seva Kunj is the sacred temple of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. I take the lotus feet of these deities as my own shelter, and I petition them to mercifully keep me under their protection. O Radha Damodar, please accept this book, Sri Gita Argan, as an offering of flowers unto your lotus feet. Whatever I know and whatever I write, I am depending exclusively on your lordships, and therefore hope it is you dictating these verses. My perpetual desire is to be always situated in the shelter of your lotus feet, which bestow true fearlessness, Abhay Charan. This poet Bhaktivedanta, also named Abhay Charan, says, since I am your insignificant servant, please release me from this illusory noose of Maya. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Well, before that, I'm very pleased to have read this because one of my first services in Sri Mayapur was to print this. Bhavananda was very keen on making sure that Bengalis received Gita Gan. And he taught those young Gurukulis to chant it. And it is a fact when they chanted Gita Gan, it was like coming from the spiritual world. And so I was able to do a little service to print it. Hari Sori says I should mention the video we watched this morning was one of those that I did in New York, and you have to forgive me. I was totally inexperienced videographer, knew nothing about it. In those, like you see here, these little video cameras here, they're videoing. You can fit it in your hand. Well, you see this harmonium here? That was a portable video machine. And I had a little problem because when you do video, you're not supposed to zoom in and out a lot. That's not really good videography. But I had difficulty because I just became fascinated. You can imagine sitting, you know, you're in class and you have this telescopic lens and you can zoom in to Srila Prabhupada's face, and then it's all soundless, right? So you're zooming in and watching his hands, and it was a great experience for me. And so then afterwards, I don't think it was this particular time, but one of these lectures, normally after a lecture, then there might be some kirtan, and some kirtan was going on. And time to time, Srila Prabhupada used to take over the kirtan. I don't know how you've had those experiences. I know in New Vrindavan, Vishnu John was leading, and this is, you know, like, really, he's one of the best. But Srila Prabhupada was so enlivened, he took it over and he began leading the kirtan. And this happened in New York. And so he was clapping along and chanting really enthusiastically. This was beautiful. And then so afterwards I went to show Srila Prabhupada. This was the first time that he had been videoed. So he brought it into his room and set it up, television set. And Srila Prabhupada is watching. And then it comes to this time when the kirtan is going on. And he's watching and he's clapping along and he's singing along. And he enjoyed it. So at least one time, I believe that I was able to give some pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. There are many other times when I didn't give him pleasure and he chastised me. So that one most significant one. There was two significant things I want to relate here, because I think part of our duty as his initiated disciples and being with him is to pass on to you various things that he took note of, small things sometimes, but significant things that perhaps we don't remember well enough. In that, I don't know if it was that lecture in New York or one of the other days, there was one incident which has stuck with me forever. These are the type of things that they stick with you. When you see Srila Prabhupada correct either you or somebody else, it sticks with you. And this was, Bali Mardan was there. And this is interesting that has stuck with me, and I hope that it will stick with you also. He was sitting just in front of Prabhupada's Vyasasan, and I'm not sure if he was the one reading or from the Bhagavatam, but he put his chadar down on the floor, and he placed the Bhagavatam on the chadar. And Srila Prabhupada looked, and he corrected him. He said, "Why are you putting Srimad Bhagavatam on the floor?" Although it was on a chadar, it was... So he picked it up, put it on his lap, and in this way, he wasn't sitting above the Bhagavatam. So that was a little thing, but I hope it sticks with you as it stuck with me. The other time was more serious. I was in my service in New York was communications, public relations. I was trying to raise money for ISKCON Food Relief. Mayapur devotees had started the food distribution here, and I was trying to raise some money, so I thought I could approach corporate donors. And I thought, well, I got to be a little discreet here. I was thinking, you know, if I go to them, Hare Krishna, you know, they're not going to even let me in the door. This is New York City, and I thought I have to be a little discreet, so... And so I wanted to be a little undercover. So I rented an address on 42nd Street in Manhattan. You can do this in New York. You can rent just the address. No office, no nothing. But I had the address. So I had the address. And then I printed letterhead, and it just said ISKCON at the top. And down at the bottom, it had the address. Big mistake. So when Prabhupada came to New York, I don't know how he got to know about it, but I was called to his room. And he said, "You have done this?" You know, you could say, you have done this. It's interesting, you know, see how Srila Prabhupada engaged us. Maybe I would have said, why did you do this? Right? Just go straight into it, right? Why did you do this? But he, very respectfully, you have done this. You know, we have to say yes. And then he explained, so why is Founder Acharya Shilesi, you know, why is that left out? I'm sorry, Prabhupada. I mean, I can't even remember what I said, but it certainly stuck. It stuck that you can't have ISKCON without Prabhupada. They are inseparable. ISKCON is there by his mercy. I serve on a committee for the GBC to develop a constitution for ISKCON. And we were faced with trying to define, well, what is ISKCON? What is this ISKCON? Of course, ISKCON is so many different things, but and who owns ISKCON? Who does it belong to? I mean, if it were a society, you know, I mean, ISKCON is a society, right? So here in West Bengal, there's so many, and in India, there's a Societies Registration Act. Right? So societies are registered and created every day. They have their memorandum of association, and they have their members, and they have... And you could say that, you know, the members, they own the society. Many of you belong to housing societies for your houses. So the society belongs to you. So does ISKCON belong to us? Yes, it does in one sense. But we thought it belongs to Srila Prabhupada. He created it. It is his. He's given it to us in trust. It remains his. He hasn't bequeathed it and then gone. He's still the owner, the proprietor, the acharya, the founder and acharya of our society. We will never have another acharya of him in that sense. He is always the acharya for ISKCON, the owner. And he's given it to us in trust. It is a trust. ISKCON is his creation, a sacred trust given to those of his followers. Those of his followers who agree to follow him as he desired. There are other followers of Srila Prabhupada who are going on with the mission, but for one reason or another, they find that they cannot do it exactly the way Srila Prabhupada desired. Working collaboratively, cooperatively, sometimes with great, it's not so easy sometimes to live together. What is Srila Prabhupada, you know, Umapati was saying, sometimes we are strangers in the same hotel. But it's our hotel. We're here. And it's a little bit like, what is it, Hotel California? You can check out, but you can never leave. He's caught us. Hare Krishna. So, I've spoken too much, but I just wanted to beg your pardon for just one more second to say what I wanted to say, but then I got caught into all these other things. To try to just beg Srila Prabhupada to have just a drop of that love that you have for Krishna and for all of you. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Now we'd like to call upon Mother Ragatmika. She joined, I'm not exactly, what year did you join, Mataji?
1971.
She joined in 1971. For many, many years, she was one of the big book distributors. On the other side there. She was one of the big book distributors in Los Angeles. Recently, she's come to live here in Mayapur. She renders service on the MCS, along with her husband, as the secretary.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Praschatate Satarine Pancha Kalpa Tribhyostha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. We all know and have heard how Srila Prabhupada is still with us, and he'll always be with us as long as we are following his instructions. So I just wanted to share two stories of which prove this after his departure. It was, North Carolina, when Mataji, his Prabhupada's disciple, Mother Arudhya, originally from France, she was always doing the service of teaching. So she was now leaving her body in the Prabhupada village in North Carolina. And Mother Madan Mohan Mohini, Prabhupada's disciple, felt obliged and responsible for assisting her in her last days and sticking with her to the very last moment. However, during that time, Madan Mohan Mohini was suffering much from illness. And she really was doubting that she would be capable of doing this marathon. But her service mood took over, and she pushed herself, and she made it through, staying by her side till her last moment, which was a glorious departure. And she was always in connection with one of her best friends in Alachua, Nataka Chandrika. And so she was, Nataka hadn't heard from her in a few days, obviously because of the marathon she was absorbed in here. And but Nataka called her, or it was either she called Nataka or Nataka called her to relay that Arudhya has left. And Nataka said, "I had a dream. I had a dream last night." And it was the night that she left. Prabhupada came, and there was a crowd around Prabhupada, and I went to that crowd and joined the crowd, and I went up front and I saw Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said to me, "Thank you." No, he said, "Tell Madan Mohan Mohini thank you for helping Arudhya." So that's all he said. And Madan was wondering, you know, if how she could do this. So it was so gratifying. It was the perfection of her life, in a sense, in that one service she performed, that Prabhupada recognized that and appreciated that. And this was a Mataji who was a simple household lady, mother and teacher, here in the hills of North Carolina. Nobody knew about her much. But Prabhupada recognized her departure and thanked this devotee through another devotee. Another story I have, a similar way of conveying the message, took place in New York. This one Mataji was so, so dedicated and faithful, a disciple of Harikesh, distributing books every day in Port of Authority and Grand Central Station. I was also doing it with her in the early days. And then one time I had occasion to visit New York sometime in the late 80s. And Niti Laksha told me, I had a dream. Prabhupada came to me and he said, "Tell Rasa Gya, thank you for warming my clothes." Now she was a little bewildered. She didn't understand what the purport of this was. But when Rasa Gya, my god sister, came back to New York, Niti Laksha asked her, what did this mean? And Rasa Gya recalled that a few years ago, when she was in Spain, she would dress the murti of Srila Prabhupada, the big murti, every day. And it was in the winter and very cold. So she ironed Prabhupada's clothes before putting them on him. And this is years later. And he's conveying this message, noticing these little things, and speaking through those who were very strictly following his instructions. So I just want to thank you for this opportunity. I was inspired after hearing Sitala to underline this point that Srila Prabhupada is still with us. He'll always be with us, and he'll manifest himself in wonderful ways for those who are following his instructions. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So I'd like to ask Mother Sachi Mata from Swarup Ganj. Is she here? Yes. Please come up, Mataji. So Sachi Mata, Mataji, and Shankarshan Prabhu, they were early recruits here in West Bengal when Prabhupada started preaching. And they have their ashram across the river there in Swarup Ganj. The devotees stay there every year on the Namadweep Mandal Parikrama for one night. They have to leave soon because they've got some guests coming. So Sachi Mata, she'll speak. And then just right there, Mataji, that's it. And then Shankarshan Prabhu, her husband, will speak just after that.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadim Paschatya Deshadarini. If I speak in Hindi, is it more easy to everyone, or I should speak in English? Because English. So, I am just a fallen soul. I saw Srila Prabhupada when my age was 16. On the way of my school, Prabhupada came there 1969 at Hindustan Road. So, there was few devotees used to stay there and with Srila Prabhupada. And that was my way to going to school. So, first I saw Jayapataka Maharaj and Achyutananda Swami on the way. They were doing kirtan. And they were just looking for some apartment because their Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada was coming from abroad. So I was there on the way of my library going, I saw these new devotees, and there was a little big crowd, you know, and then I thought I must join them. And then they were asking about that their Guru Maharaj is coming and they are looking for an apartment. And the neighbors, they found an apartment and told them about it. And that was just next to my neighbors. I was staying there at Doverland and the Hindustan Road was just nearby, just a few blocks away. So I was every morning I used to think that I would meet this Guru Maharaj and I would see who is he. And but the neighbors, they have stopped me. We said, these foreigners, you may not know, you are young girl. Even my family members also, you should not go there. They may be hippies, they may... So I was a little confused and I dropped that idea to go there. So then next year, on the way of my school, I saw a big pandal program and at Deshapriya Park. So, and I saw these devotees. I said, I must go there and please, I should go there. I should see this Guru Maharaj I'm missing. My heart was crying. But even, you know, the Indian girls are however restricted by their families. So, in a little confusion, yes or no, then I made up my mind and I went one evening and I went, and Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture. But I was in young girl, I never knew Shastra or anything. But I saw Srila Prabhupada was saying in simple English and Bengali that he was talking, he was giving lecture from Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. She was said that you just, to please God, you need only Patram Pushpam Phalam Jalam, and then he described it how, and it just enchanted my heart and I was moved. You know, this is very easy to reach God, how he is saying. So I was just little bit, you know, I just lost myself and I was standing by, but immediately saw the Guru Maharaj is just next, he's just next to me, he's just getting on his car. So I bowed down. He said, who are you? I said my name. I said, are you in, did you like my lecture? This was spoken by Bengali. And I said, yes. I said, why don't you come tomorrow to see me? I said, okay, Guru Maharaj, I'll come. And one day I told this thing and my you know, godbrother Jananibhas Prabhu, he said, this is Ahituki Kripa to you. So next day I went to see him and then he said, why you are late? 11. I said, I could not understand because that was Prabhupada's bathing time. He was putting his massage on. And I did not know, I never knew about any rules or anything. So I said, I had to come from school, so I'm late. Oh, okay. Then you asked Kaushalya, one of my god sisters, said, this girl will be coming every day. She, and you should assist her and tell her about her mission and everything. And then he spoke to me always in Bengali. Me and one of my god sisters, Shumana, were very dear to them because we were very newcomers and those days only, you know, new Bengali devotees. And then once he asked, you know, there's few stories, but once he asked me to cook for him and they were fine, you know, Parval. So Palika and Bhavananda Maharaj, they went to Jogu Market, I think, maybe somebody else, but they could not find what Parval is. So Palika came to my house by taxi, and I was, that day I could not go to the temple, I had little fever. So Palika said, get up, you have to go, Prabhupada wants soup, and Prabhupada's sister did not come, and we don't know what Parval is. Said, you have to cook. And I jumped. I thought, I have to cook for Srila Prabhupada. Oh my goodness. Then I don't know anything about it. Then I came with, and then I know what Parval, I came to Jogu Market, got Parvals and drumsticks and all these things, preparation for soup, Indian Bengali soup. So and they said, you prepare whole prasadam. I said, okay. Then I was so happy and I did not know how to express my, they speak, then, you know, then I cooked everything and prepared and brought to Srila Prabhupada. After 5 minutes, Bhavananda Maharaj came, said, Sachi Mata, Prabhupada wants to see you. I thought maybe he will praise me very nicely. Oh, very nice. But instead of this, you have cooked this? I said, yes. Take it away, I don't know. I don't want to eat all this stuff. You don't know how to serve Guru Maharaj. I felt stunned. What to say? What wrong I did? Said, cold rice? Cold rice? Oh, I did not know the rice should be warm, you know. So I was helpless. I did not say. So then I did not know what to do. Prabhupada, don't take today for my fault. I just started draw. Tears came out of my eyes, but I did not answer him. So Prabhupada, I said, go and prepare some chapatis. And then I prepared some hot chapatis and sabjis again and prepared and brought it. And then he ate. Then 4 o'clock, again he called me. I was upstairs. He said, call Sachi Mata. I went, said, they sit. Maybe I scold you. How compassionate was he? I scold you. Don't take it other way. You have to know many things. You are very young devotee. You know how to serve Guru Maharaj. Then you will serve Krishna. So don't take it other way. This is how I was loved by Sri. There are many stories because I used to go to his room many often, you know, without asking anybody to clean his to clean his room, to mop his door. So many stories. So I won't take more time. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Now we'd like to ask Sachi Mata's other half, Shankarshan Prabhu, to say a few words. The wife is the better half.
Namang Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pucharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine. So, my spiritual master advent on 1st September 1996 at our house, a small house. Previously, it was a village where I was born. And this is a very secret thing. Only myself and Prabhupada knew this thing because I was born in the same family. But he did not tell anyone regarding his birthplace where he was born. People know that he was born in Harrison Road, Mullik's house. However, but he told me everything. So one day, it was 1971, in the beginning of the Radha Govinda temple. So I used to go, that time I used to go to Calcutta University. I was a student of arts. So I asked Prabhupada, I am not interested to go any more college. Prabhupada said, no. You go, must go, attend the college and give your service to the temple. Because Gaur Mohan De give me little education. So by the education, now I am preaching all over the world. So don't neglect. Do your study, go to college, and same time you come to the temple and give service. Then all right. Then, however, so there is another, there are so many things to say, but one day I know Prabhupada came from London, so it was night time. That time, Achyudananda, maybe Bhavananda was there, Sutakriti, so many early disciples of Jayapataka was there, and so many people are there, devotees are there. So he called me. My name was Shankar, and after initiation, my name was Shankarshan. So he called me my house name, Shankar. Please call Shankar. Then I went there. Then he said, do you know my sister's house, Bhavatarini Pisima, Taltala? Yeah, I know. Can you go? Yes, I can go. That was 9 o'clock, 9:30, like that. Because he wants to take some kochuri. And only that kochuri will cook by her sister, Bhavatarini. So night time, 9:30, I went there in his house, in her house, Taltala. So a small house, one street building. So her son was there. Then they know me very well. Well, why so night? And Prabhupada sent me because I have to take Bhavatarini Devi. That time we have no temple car. Now we have so many cars. Mercedes, Benz, this and that. During Prabhupada's time, we have no car. Even Saraswati's mother, what's his name? Maluti, Palika, then all they used to go Jogu Bazar. Prabhupada said, go to the market on foot and come by rickshaw. Just you can save 10 rupees. Only 10 rupees. Matter of 10 rupees. Even I know that. So I went to the Taltola, Prabhupada's sister's house. So it was 10 o'clock. I brought Pisima, Bhavatarini Devi. So Bhavatarini came and Prabhupada says, make some kochuri, hot kochuri for me. So immediately she went to the kitchen room and made some kochuri for Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada says, thank you very much for coming, for bringing my sister. No, Prabhupada, it is my service. And he was very pleased to me because myself and one my sister, you might have heard his name, Jalotala. Both we are used to go in the temple from the very beginning. And my wife, Suchimata. Because from the Prabhupada's family, only his sister and myself and my sister also, Jalotala Mataji, was Bhima's wife. However, so that regarding his birthplace in 1977, he was very sick. It was early 77. So he's going to Bhubaneswar for changing. So my friend, his name is Singhania, Bunarilal Singhania. So in his car, Prabhupada, myself, and another some devotees went to drop Srila Prabhupada at Howrah station. Then Prabhupada saying so many things that you must try, that I want to keep some memory in Taliganj. Please do something for me. Only I did know. Then after the disappearance, some of disciples like Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhakti Charu came to that place, Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So I have seen in my lifetime that Srila Prabhupada was born in our family. But we are very few of them we could recognize that he is a Nitya Siddha. He came from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada was so merciful that he likes me because he says, you are my real family because your father, mother, sister, all of you follow the rules and regulations. And you come every day, Sunday, evening time, doing some service. So I know it is stated in the scriptures that one can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts exactly according to the words he hears from the mouth of his spiritual master. The word of spiritual master is called Shrutavakya. Shrutavakya means which indicates that disciples must carry out the instruction with heart and soul, without deviation. So, I have seen so many our Godbrothers. I joined in 1970 and my initiation 73, first in Mayapur and second in Vrindavan. So, in that way, I am trying to help my Guru Maharaj. I gave my house in Taliganj. I think they are going to do some memorial over there because Prabhupada wanted it and Prabhupada also wanted that one Ultodanga road where he had met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922. I think that house ISKCON has acquired. I have heard it. Ultodanga road. And also we should do something Scottish Church College where Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose was a student and also Swami Vivekananda was a student in that college. Srila Prabhupada also a student And Rishi Aurobindo, I think Aurobindo Ghosh was a student. There are all big students, very personalities over there in a Scottish Church College. So we should do something in a Scottish Church College. And in his school, Motilal Sili School, you'll find there. There's a small school in Bengali school running by the Subarnamonic Charitable Trust. So Prabhupada used to go that school in and also like in Calcutta, there are so many places to be. Prabhupada had a desire and he exposed to me. However, because why he told me? Because I was only his family member and seeing every day when Prabhupada used to come in Mayapur and only Pisima. Pisima was very lovable for, you know, for Srila Prabhupada. He was all the time, she's all the time attending, cooking and teaching the my wife, Palika and Kaushala, all the old days devotees. So we are very fortunate because Prabhupada was born in Calcutta and we should do something for Calcutta. It is my humble request to all the GBC, my senior god brothers. If they want help, my help, I can help them. It is my on his disappearance day because he disappeared in Sridham Vrindavan and he appeared in Calcutta. So these two places, people are very interested to see and I am very thankful to my present godbrothers, those who are preaching very nicely, particularly here in their very favorite to Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, Prabhupada all the time says, Bhavananda and Joy Pataka and Tamal Krishna. I have seen all these devotees and they are very, very dear. Very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. All the time when they Prabhupada used to come to Calcutta, they are all the time serving, all the time. With heart and soul. So with heart and soul, without deviation. And this is called Guru Seva. One that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, one can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life. So I have seen that Jayapataka Maharaj, Radhanath, Swami, Bhakti Charu and Gopal Krishna, they are very dear. And these four pillars of our Indian preaching, because they are preaching in India so nicely and saw all the big people, all the very good students, very brilliant students, they join our movement and it is a miracle for the young age. It is a miracle in the age of Kali because they are proving that Prabhupada started Jhansi in 1951 or 52 like that. Only four young people were there. His desire was that so many young groups, educated person and strong personalities will come and join and glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I have seen, I am very pleased, all the young disciples and they are all physicians, doctorate, chartered accountant and journalist. Very nice. It is very satisfying all of us and Prabhupada is very happy. Prabhupada is very happy that still my godbrothers are working so hard. We are still trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. I am so much fallen. I could not do any service to Srila Prabhupada. Please bless me that I can serve for the satisfaction of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So now we'd like to ask His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj to say a few words. He's our GBC in Japan and he's also a special emissary for the GBC Executive Committee.
Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunivadi Pastor. I'd like to thank everybody who's giving us such nice personal memories. I had very little time, none with, just intimately with Prabhupada, sometimes watching him on morning walks or giving classes. One, I hear about all these dreams. I had one dream when I first was living near the temple, I was living in my Volkswagen van with the wife and child and two dogs. And the devotees were always talking, Prabhupada might come if we do something, you know, he'll come. It's a very small temple. So one night I had a dream that Prabhupada had come. I was in my van and he came out with the devotees and he said, "Who is that?" And they said, "That's Gus." And he said, "Kick him out." So I told the temple president, he said, "Prabhupada wants you to get serious." So I told my wife to get rid of the dogs. And I'm still amazed that I haven't been kicked out. But as for association, I just thought, you know, that there were several things that we would hear, at least I heard, over and over again. First one is that Prabhupada said, "My books are better than I am." And then the devotees were always saying, "Service and separation is better than..." And the Vani is better than the Vapu. So, you know, we were more or less forced in America. That's the way it was. Prabhupada was isolated. But we had his books. Mainly that's all at the time. Sometimes there was a devotee who had been with Prabhupada, could tell us things. But that, I just, you know, think about that a lot. That's available to all of you. It's available to everybody. Not that there's some inferiority about personal association, but that aspect that the books are always there. They'll be there for thousands of years. They can be everywhere in every language and with everybody. The person can't do that, you know, in a, you know, for massage or just, you know, intimate exchanges like that. But that's available for everyone. And the service, especially preaching, the message of Prabhupada is very intimate service. To teach the book, like Krishna says, no one's more dear. To distribute the books. So Prabhupada was, you know, he put a lot of effort into the, we all know and we hear over and over again how he's, I was reading Harisari Prabhu's diary and he was saying at one time Prabhupada got so enlivened that he didn't even take rest. First, he'd just translate all night. And then in the morning, just carry on. Usually he took a few hours rest, but he would get so enlivened that, because he was thinking of the whole world, the whole universe, actually, he writes, you know, that this was spread to other planets even. And in the purport, he says, you might ask, how could it spread to other planets? He said, just like it spread in 10 years all over the world. That's also inconceivable. You know, so why not other planets? If in 10 years, one man went to New York all by himself with nothing, no money. Nobody was interested in, they thought India was just a bunch of starving fools. That was America. You know, everybody's starving, everybody's poor. They believe in reincarnation. They're just fools. You know? But many people were knowing something's coming from in Prabhupada, you know, in a very short time, spread it all over the world, and it's still spreading. We see the amazing evidence of Prabhupada's presence. So many people strictly trying to follow his basic instructions, like every morning here we see the japa. It's astounding. I can't imagine how pleased Prabhupada is to see all that, all these people. Especially Indian people, like we heard in Prabhupada's time, very few Indian were joining. They were donating, but not very many really joined. But now so many, and not only in India, but all over the world, and preaching, and seriously taking up sadhana and everything, building more and more temples. So just that, I just thought I would, you know, so many people have all these personal memories. But the main association, in it, which is available to everybody, and now his books, and now we have so many books of Prabhupada's and biographies from so many devotees. And we were talking with Radhanath Swami the other day. He said how important those books are. Because we have Prabhupada, we have the philosophy, we have all the teachings in the books, and then of course now, in the beginning when I joined, there was no recordings of lectures or anything. Even now, that's available to everybody on the internet. Anywhere you can get it, can buy it here for a little bit. But in these biographies and in the personal memories, we see how the Acharya applied the philosophy, which is very important because we have to apply that. We have to manage. When I learned that Prabhupada disappeared, of course, like we heard, they kept saying, "Oh, Prabhupada, he's just a leela. You know, he's just trying to increase our feelings, and he's never going to leave." You know, I wanted to go to India, and that's what they told me. Now, you know, he's not going to leave. It's just a leela. It's just okay. I said, you know, and Krishna arranged. I didn't go. But then, when we got that phone call, it was early in the morning, and we were totally bewildered. And then I thought, well, what to do? You know, go out and distribute books. I mean, it's the only thing I knew what to do, that I knew please Prabhupada. It still is. And so when I got out to distribute books, I suddenly felt, well, Prabhupada's right there, you know. Then I started thinking more, like for me personally, it's not much different. You know, we do Guru Puja, we read the book, we distribute the books, we preach the book. You know, I wasn't in the Vapu very much, except maybe to watch him, you know, stand there while he gave class. And so I was thinking it personally, but then for the society, you know, it's a big difference because we don't have that final authority to go to anymore when there's a, you know, disagreements, which there always is. So it's very important that, you know, we have access to all these, how Prabhupada dealt with so many different circumstances. Something like Lord Ram, you know, he perfectly understood everything, so he could make a decision that was perfect and everybody would accept it and it would be the best thing for everybody. So we want to be very careful to, you know, hear the instructions and see how he applied them. And as we carry on, the movement grows more and more. We're dealing with so many people and so many things, so many friends and so many opposition. Prabhupada dealt with everything in our presence, let it all be recorded. He was very careful. Umapati Swami usually talks about that, you know, because he was appreciated because he was good at fixing the recording machine, right? And Prabhupada was very concerned that everything got recorded right from the very beginning. And he said if the machine didn't work, he would wait until they got it working again. He wouldn't just speak. So we have all that, and we request everybody, please, you know, take advantage of all that. It's going to be there forever. And encourage anybody that, you know, was with Prabhupada to get it all down in writing. Many, many things have to be done. If you want some work, if somebody could transcribe those interviews that Yadubar Prabhu did, and his very valuable things are there. And read the Prabhupada's purports carefully, study them, and discuss how to apply them in your life and in everyone else's life or the whole universe. Then we can all be with Prabhupada all the time. He has that capacity, like we hear about Sukadeva Goswami, is all pervasive like the Super Soul. As long as we connect by that, following the instructions, and that means we have to hear them. So thank you all for giving me a chance to say something. And this is unbelievable. I can't imagine how pleased Prabhupada is to see so many people and how Mayapur is so developed and how they can take care of so many guests and everybody's happy. And we want to just, as much as we focus on trying to please Prabhupada with whatever we do, we'll be completely successful. Srila Prabhupada ISKCON founder charges Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Swami Chandra Maharaj. At this point, I'd like everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. And stretch. Yeah. You've all been sitting very patiently. Just have a quick stretch. legs, arms, neck. Bend over. Yeah, get the spine in shape there. And then we're going to ask Murari Gupta Prabhu just to give us another bhajan for the next 10 minutes. Yeah. And then we'll continue on with the offerings.